So we'll start with the Midrash number one. I apologize for not giving you the English.
But
maybe, the Midrash begins with imagining an incredible scene. The Midrash depicts that when man is created, there are groups of angels that are fighting with each other. And the Midrash paints it as an argument between Emet and between Chesed and a number of other other angels that are really qualities. So the quality of truth says we shouldn't create mankind because they're a bunch of liars. So truth says, how can you create man? They're just going to lie. It's a terrible idea. Whereas Chesed, kindness, says you have to create man. Hashem, you have to create man because mankind is going to do kindness to others, and that's going to carry the day. And obviously, the Midrash, because mankind was created, so the Midrash is imagining kind of this back and forth between shalom, peace weighs in and says, all man does is wars and fight, and how can we create man? So it's a fascinating Midrash in that it kind of takes all of these basic qualities that are so important and pits them against each other, and the winner seems to be Chesed. And in the end, truth says it's not worthwhile. Peace says it's not going to work. But Chesed, kindness, says it has to be done, and man is created. So this idea of how primal and foundational kindness is. So I want to look at what is the source? Where does this come from, this obligation, this idea to do kindness? Because I think it really relates very much, and will actually end very much where Roy Wolk ended only a few minutes ago, relating that to Mrs. Wolk. So if we look at source number two, oft-quoted pasuk in Micha, it talks, Micha the prophet is saying to people, "Higid lecha adam matov, umasham doresh mecha." I'm going to tell you what's the good thing to do and what God really wants from us. And in this very short list, where he tries to really par down what we're talking about, we have all these different mitzvot, all these different things that we're supposed to do, but paring it down to really where is it coming from. So one of the things is ahavat chesed, not just kindness, but actually to love kindness. And in fact, the Chavetz Chaim wrote a number of books. Some are less famous than the actual book that he wrote, Chavetz Chaim, but he actually wrote a book called Ahavat Chesed, based on this pasuk, about chesed, about kindness. And there really are two sources. If we look at the Rambam in source number three, he has a whole list. This is a positive commandment to visit the sick, comfort the mourners, bury the dead, etc. Lists a whole bunch of things that are things that we are commanded to do for our fellow. And in the end, he says, where does it come from? It comes from a pasuk of love your fellow as yourself, v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. So the Rambam sees that as an incredibly important pasuk from which really flows all of these different specific obligations that revolve around chesed and kindness. And that's one very important source. And the other source that's pointed to by a number of other commentaries is that which we find in the Gemara. We really find in the Torah a number of times. And the Gemara really fleshes it out. So if we look at source number four, it asks about this pasuk that appears a number of times in Devarim and elsewhere. It says some version of Acharei Hashem Elokeichem Telech, we should walk in Hashem's ways. And the Talmud says, what does that mean? How in the world can we do that? It says, how can we follow the divine presence? It compares God to like a fire. It says, you know, like asking me to touch fire. Like, what does it mean that I should follow in Hashem's path? And it says that it's this idea of imitatio Dei, that we're supposed to imitate God. And this Gemara in Sota talks about imitating the attributes of God. And it explains, what does it mean? And then it's very specific. It says, God clothes the naked. I had a reference to the story in the Garden of Eden, and giving Adam and Chava clothes. So God clothes the naked. We have to do the same thing. God visits the sick. A reference to the story with Avraham in the tent after he's gotten his Brit Milah, he's been circumcised, and God comes to visit him. God comforts the mourners, buries the dead, a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. We're told that God buried Moshe Rabbeinu. So it delineates very specific activities, and says, so should you. We should do the same thing. What does it mean to imitate God? It means to do engage in all of these things that we see God as an example himself engaging. A second Gemara, which has the same concept but is a little bit different, is the Gemara in Shabbos in number 5. And there, quotes a pasuk that we say every morning in Az Yashir. He says, Ze keli va'anvehu. This is my God. And va'anvehu is the difficult word to translate. And the Gemara has two different options. And one of the options, it says, you know what va'anvehu means? This is my God, va'anvehu. This is my God, and I will imitate him. That's what the word means. Some of the commentaries talk about what exactly, how does that word mean that? Rashi says that it's actually kind of an amalgamation of ani vehu. Anvehu is ani vehu. I and he. Me and God. So I am imitating God. And others say, no, the Marsha says that the other option in the Gemara is that we should glorify the mitzvot. We should do the mitzvot in a beautiful way. We should have our silver kiddush cup. We should decorate our sukkah. All of those kind of things. And the Marsha says, no, actually that's the same in both directions. That's also the idea of imitating God. And he says there's an external glorification of God's mitzvot, where we have the silver kiddush cup, we do it in a physical way. And he says there's also an internal piece. There's also an internal way. How do internally do I glorify God? And the mitzvot is that I engage in these kind of acts, and I try to imitate God and have God be my role model in some sense, so that that also comes from the same idea. So the Rambam picks up on the fact that these two Gemaras are a little bit different. The Gemara in number 4 is very specific in terms of actions. Whereas in number 5, if you see the continuation, it doesn't say God clothes the naked, it doesn't say that God visits the sick. It said God is merciful. God is gracious. We should also be merciful and gracious. And so the Rambam in number 6, he really puts them together. And he says both. He says we really have to do both things. We have to act like Hashem in terms of actions, specific delineated actions, as well as God's important qualities. So he says there, the reason Hashem in some ways is described this way is in order for us to understand that. And that's the idea. The idea is to live our life in a very focused and thoughtful way where we're thinking about what can I do, how can I be like God, and how can I help this person? What can I do to make this person's life better? There's a beautiful story about Rabbi Leo Chaim Meisels. He was the rabbi in Lutz, and he really was one of the great people in the generation, the second half of the 19th century. And he was really somebody who was known not just for his Torah knowledge, which he was, but also for his chesed, his kindness. And there's a story told that he met up with Rav Chaim Ozer Grudzinski. Now, Rav Chaim Ozer Grudzinski is a more known name, and he came out with a sefer, with a book at that time, which remains kind of one of the books that are seen as like, this is a work of a genius. It's called the Achiezer. And he had just come out with a book. So Rabbi Meisel turned to Rabbi Grudzinski and said, I looked at your sefer, I looked at your book. It's incredible, unbelievable, beautiful. I really enjoyed it. It's incredible. So he turned back and he said, when is your sefer coming out? When are you going to publish it? You're also a great Talmud scholar. You're also a great Torah scholar. When is your book coming? So he started to empty his pockets, and he had all these folded up pieces of small paper in his pockets. He emptied his pockets and he had this whole mound of little pieces of paper. And he said, these pieces of paper are promissory notes that I have because I've arranged that there are people that have money and want to help. And there are widows and there are orphans and there are other people that are in need. And I've arranged to have this happen. And then I'm responsible for all this. I'm keeping track. I know who owes who what. And I'm the person who's the guarantor for all of this. He said, this is my sefer. I said, I'm so busy with doing these kind of things, with being involved in people's lives and helping people in this way. I don't think I have time to do it. So Rav Chaim Ozer turned back to him and he said, my sefer pales in comparison to your sefer. So this is a sefer. This is something that you're leaving. And what I've written, even though it is still considered to be one of the great works of that time, I said it pales in comparison to what you're doing here. And the Rambam really goes further in terms of this idea of being able to live a life in that way. And he says that actually, in number 7, the way that God is depicted sometimes in Navi, he says, is actually for this reason. We see that God has like a lot of nicknames. There's definitely a number of names that God has. We have Elohim, and we have Hashem, and we have Shakai, and all these kind of different names. And more than that, a lot of times there are more nicknames. So God is called, the prophets call God slow to anger. He's called abundantly kind. We know we have the 13 qualities that we say, Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, Lachanun, that we say especially around the high holidays. And there just seem to be so many different names of God. Why do we have to have so many names of God? And the Rambam says it's for this very reason, because the whole idea is that we're supposed to imitate God. And if that's the commandment, and that's where all this is stemming from, and how we're going to interact with the world and with other people is coming from our imitation of God, we have to know what God does. What is that? How are we supposed to know? How are we supposed to understand that? So he says that's what the nicknames are trying to do. So we call God abundantly kind. So now we know, okay, we have to be abundantly kind. We call God straight, so we have to be straight. We call God complete, we have to be complete. All of these different nicknames are a way for us to understand what exactly is being expected of us. They tell another nice story about Rabbi Yechezkel Abramsky. So Rabbi Yechezkel Abramsky was also a genius around the same time, and he was known to be stern. He was that teacher that like never smiled. And he was a genius, and his students loved him, but he didn't give them a hug. He was just very, very, very stern. And once a student saw him, he was walking on his way to give a class, and there was a little girl who was crying. So he stopped, and he bent down, and he asked her why she's crying, and she said that her friend had said something that hurt her feelings. And Rabbi Yechezkel Abramsky turned to this girl, he says, "Why are you crying? You're beautiful, and your dress is beautiful." Well, the friend had said that the dress wasn't very nice. And the girl brightened up, big smile on her face, and ran off to tell her friends that the great rabbi said, "My dress is beautiful." So my dress is beautiful, and she just felt incredible. And he kept walking. One of the students saw. The student went up to him afterwards, somehow had the audacity to ask and said, "Rabbi, I saw what you did, but I'm so surprised. It doesn't seem like you're on your way to give a Torah class to many people, and here you're stopping and helping this little girl." So he said, "No." He said, there's a verse. There's a verse that says that God will wipe away every tear. And it says that we have to imitate God. So if the verse says that God is going to wipe away every tear and stop people from being sad, so I have to say I have an obligation. I had to do that. Now, it's not that I'm such a nice guy. That's my obligation. This is what it says. If I'm supposed to imitate God, so that's what God does. God wipes away every tear. I see somebody crying. I have an obligation to wipe away that tear. I have an obligation to make that little girl feel better in whatever way that I need to do that. So I had to tell her dress was beautiful because that's what she needed to hear in order to make her feel better. So, you know, I think what we're talking about here, I think, is very, very related to Mrs. Wolk, because I feel that it's a high bar for us. So we have the idea of v'ahavta re'echa kamocha, we should love others like ourselves, which is a very high bar. The idea of imitating God, which is also a very high bar. And it demands a real focus and thought in like every moment of our lives. Like Rabbi Yechezkel Abramsky is seeing this little girl crying. I'm sure he's in a rush, he's going places, we all have all the things that we're doing. It requires a real sense of knowing what you're doing and why you're there at every moment to be able to take advantage of these different situations and do what we can. And I think when I think about Mrs. Wolk, I think that she really exemplified this. She had a sense that she was doing something at every moment, that it was with a lot of purpose and with a lot of thoughtfulness. We saw it in the classroom, we saw it in the community, is that she knew what she wanted to do. She had these ideas in mind. She was somebody who exemplified this. She knew she was somebody who was imitating God. She was somebody who loved others like herself. And she also knew at every moment what that meant. That means that I'm going to do this. That means I'm going to say this to this person, and I'm going to make sure to talk on this student needs some help, and I'm going to go over to them. And she really lived her life, I think, in that way. And it's really incredibly appropriate. There's the Gemara in number 8. So it on the face of it doesn't seem to talk about this so much, but there's an incredible explanation of the Bnei Yisachar. So the Gemara on the face of it is simply talking about the Shemoneh Esrei that we say every day. And it's talking about the first blessing. So the first blessing of the Shemoneh Esrei, we kind of invoke, we're trying to invoke this idea of a relationship with God. And so we invoke Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov. We say, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. And so the Gemara explains that. And the Gemara says that Avraham got an extra promise from God. And that's why at the end of the bracha, though, we don't say, Baruch Atah Hashem, and invoke Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. At the end, we know the bracha says, Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen Avraham. We only mention Avraham at the end. And so the Gemara is seeking to explain that. He says, no, Avraham got an extra promise that you might think, and the Gemara says, I might think I should end the bracha with all three of them. So God tells Avraham, no, v'heye bracha, you're going to be a blessing. B'cha chosman, with you, we will seal it, we will end. So on the face of it, the Gemara is simply saying that we end the bracha with Avraham's name as opposed to all three of the names. But the B'nai Sosfar says something very nice. He says on a much deeper level, we're talking about time. And in time in general, we have to take the qualities of Avraham and Yitzhak and Yaakov. And we know that the Avot, the forefathers, had different qualities that are associated with them. And Avraham was the quality of chesed, right? He is the open tent with the four doors. He's the quality of kindness, of bringing everybody in. And the idea is that Yaakov, who is the quality of Torah, and Yitzhak, who is the quality of Avodah, which is the idea of davening and tefillah, those three are incredibly important pillars that are with us throughout time. But the B'nai Yisroel says when it's ikva de Mashiach, when it's close to the time of Mashiach, the times that we live in today, he says, B'cha chosman, Hashem says to Avraham, with your quality is what Mashiach will come. That's how Mashiach will come. B'cha chosman, the quality of chesed, the quality of kindness, that's how we'll seal it. That's how it will end. And so the B'nai Yisroel says, because of that, you know, in our time, sometimes it can seem so difficult. How can we really be the best Jews that we can be? It's such a tall order. And especially this Torah learning is like, it's hard, it's not for everybody, it's so difficult, so much time, it's so hard to know everything. Or we look at davening, it's a struggle, something Mrs. Wolk was also incredible at, but it's a struggle, we see with our students and with ourselves. So hard to keep focused, to try and daven. But chesed, the B'nai Yisroel said, with chesed, with kindness, we can really be incredible. And the truth is that we really have seen it in our generation, the unbelievable amount of organizations that are dedicated to helping people, it's exploded in the last few decades. And it really is incredible, and it really is an area that I think we can take with us and really do it in an incredible way. And one last thing I just want to end with, is where Rabbi Wolk ended a few minutes ago, is this idea that the act is incredibly important, but also the attitude is incredibly important. And the Gemara is actually in a different context, in the context of kibud av ve'em, of honoring our parents. And it says something that seems to be puzzling. It says that yesh machil la'aviv pisyonei v'tordo min ha'olam. Sometimes you have a person who's there feeding their father the biggest delicacies in the world. They're taking such good care of their parents, and yet it's really destroying them from the world. It's taking them out of the world. They're doing something that's terrible. And on the other hand, you have yesh matkinim bereichayim. Gemara is picking very extreme cases. It says you have somebody who's making his father work at the millstone. So he's with his elderly father. He's making him work at the millstone. And yet, mevi lechayim haba. And that act is causing him to get the world to come. So what is it talking about? So it's using extreme language to say that it really is about the attitude. So you have somebody who can be, they're taking care of their parents very well, they're financially taking care of them, but they're making their parents feel like they're a burden, they're making them feel bad about it, they're making them feel like, you know, okay, I'm going to have to do this because they're, and the parent, although they're well fed, although they're well taken care of, they feel terrible. And they have somebody else who, unfortunately, because of their circumstances, maybe everybody has to lend a hand, and the parents are working on the farm like everybody else, or wherever they are. And they're way past the age of retirement and they can't retire, but the children are making the parents feel, I'm so sorry, and thank you so much, you're so valuable to the family, we love you so much. And they're giving that feeling and they have that attitude, so that is making all the difference. It's not just the act, but it's also the attitude and how it's done. So I think that's such an important thing. When we think about chesed, we think about kindness, sometimes it's hard, we feel like we're doing it in a begrudging way. And something that I try hard to do and is a big challenge. My wife is much better at it than I am. But I try very hard to have the following attitude. It's like once you're going to do it, so once you're making the meal for the person, or once you're giving the person a ride, whatever it is, so to try to stop for a moment and say, this is so exciting, I'm so happy, because you're going to do the exact same thing either way. So you're going to do the same, it's going to take the same amount of time, you're going to do the same action. So either you can make the person feel great about it and do it, or you can be okay about it, you can do it and not feel great about it. But why? Why? You're spending the same amount of time, same amount of energy, and probably more energy if you're feeling bad about it or if you're feeling resentful. So I think if we can take the model of Mrs. Wolk, who I think was incredible about this, never felt like if she was doing anything for you, you certainly didn't feel like it was a burden. You felt like she was excited to do it. It was her honor, her pleasure, her joy. If we can try, as we're doing these chasadim, doing these kindnesses that God willing will bring Mashiach, as we saw, if we can try to, like Mrs. Wolk, have that attitude of really being excited about it and feeling good about it, and thereby making the other person feel good as well, then I think it will really be a blessing for her memory.